Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Ki Titse with Rabbi David Levenkreuz. Rabbi Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. Motherhood is prized of God. At price no man may dare to listen or misunderstand. These words by Helen Hunt Jackson are a very appropriate opening to our discussion today of Parashat Ki Titse, in which we are going to look at the mitzvah of chasing away the mother bird before taking her eggs. This parasha is in and of itself an absolutely fascinating parasha. It is the most mitzvah-laden parasha of the Torah. In fact, it consists only of mitzvot. The mitzvot are in all different areas. Some are rituals, some have got to do with society. Most of them are ethical and moral. And some, like the ones we're going to do today, are a bit of a mixture. In fact, I spent an entire year teaching this parasha, and I hope one day to put these together and to form them into something that people can read, a book or some kind, because it really was fascinating and a really, really great insight. In fact, I've got a good suspicion that if somebody, you know, told me you have one thing that you can teach to somebody to teach them about the Jewish religion, there's a very, very good chance that I would choose Parashat Ki Titse. So let us look at different aspects of this mitzvah. It's not without its problematics. We're going to bring up hard philosophical issues of tzaddik v'ralo, somebody who is good and things are bad for them. We're going to be looking at issues of the world to come. But let's look at the mitzvah itself. Ki yikare ken tzipor lefanecha b'derech b'chol etzo ala aretz efrochim u'beitzim. You chance upon a bird's nest. Va'emro vetzet ala efrochim. And the mother is hovering over the little chicks or the eggs. Lo tikach ha'em ala banim. Don't take the mother with the children, with the chicks. Shalech to shalech et ahem, send the mother away, ve'et abim tikach lecha, and take the young ones, leman yitav lecha, ve'erachta yamim. In all that will be good for you, and that your days will be long. This is one of the very few mitzvot in the Torah where we are promised anything, and one of the very few that we are promised a long life. And yet, to my mind, this mitzvah begs more questions than it answers. Perhaps the most eloquent exposition of this is from Sherry Mandel, whose son was killed by terrorists. She writes, "The Talmud says that whoever thinks that the mitzvah of shooing away the mother bird shows God's compassion should be silenced, because they don't understand. We can't say that the mitzvah of shooing away the mother bird, I'm told later also a charm for fertility, is a symbol of God's compassion, because we can't understand God's compassion. If the mitzvah were a true symbol of God's compassion, then surely we wouldn't be allowed to take the baby at all." Enough said. I mean, why does the Torah not forbid us to do this altogether? Not only that, even on a practical level, we can shoo the mother bird away, but she'll come later and find a nest without chicks and without eggs. That might be even worse. I don't know how much I'm ascribing human characteristics to animals when I say this, but I think that that would be even worse, not to see something happening. You could also kill the mother first and then take the eggs. We're not the first people to have these sensitivities. I think that the Torah and the rabbis were very, very well aware of it, and we see this in their exposition of the text. If you carry on looking in your source sheet, I've given 5 psukim, which I think can help us understand what the purpose of this mitzvah is. In Vayikra 22:28, it says, "V'shor oseh oto ve'et beno lo tishchetu b'yom echad," that we are not allowed to slaughter the herd, an animal from the herd or from the flock, at the same day as its young. And this could be very, very much making biological sense. We should not have total cruel destruction. But more importantly, this mother will be able to go on, lay other eggs, have other chickens. Second reason, kabed et avicha ve et imecha, honor your mother and your father, kasher tzivcha Hashem elokecha leman yerichun yamecha. We're promised a long life for honoring our parents. Uleman yitev lecha al adama asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha. So a second reason might be because of general reverence for parenthood, that Judaism as a religion emphasizes obeying one's parents and honoring one's parents. And this could be a general praise of parenthood and reminding us how important it is. It could be connected to Lord Tevashel Gdibe Chalavimo, not to boil a kid in its mother's milk, that in some way this scene is seen as violating nature. To destroy an animal in that which was meant to nourish it seems to be particular cruelty. Or it could be greed. You're not only eating the animal, you're using its milk. This could be a form of greediness. In the same way, taking a mother bird and its young could be an act of great greediness. In Devarim 20, verse 19, we read, Ki tatzor el ir yamim rabim lelachem aleha, you're capturing a city, letafsa, to get captured, lo tashrit et etza lindoach alav, garzen ki memene tochal v'oto lo tichrot. We should not destroy the trees. We're allowed to eat them, but we're not allowed to cut them down when conquering a city. And again, we see an ecological or a pragmatic reason. Interestingly, besides the mother bird and honoring parents, the only other time we promised a long life is about by honest weights and measures. And it's interesting to look at these three, because in many, many ways, stability in these areas is what we need. Weights and measures in economic life or in business. Honoring parents is in family, and not destroying the mother bird is in nature. I think in some level there might be something very pragmatic going on with the Torah promising us long life for all of this. What we're saying is that in order for us to have a long and a good life, these are the areas of life that need to be done in an honest and a good way. Our economics, our family, and our relationship to the world around us. These different ideas that we've just looked on, greed, biological, praise of motherhood, keeping a good society, treating nature well, are picked up in a famous machloket, a famous debate between the Rambam, with an M, Maimonides, and the Ramban, Nachmanides. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, the Guide of the Perplexed, the seventh on your source sheet, writes about the mitzvah of, in number two, of Vayikra, of not killing the animal and its young. It is prohibited to kill an animal with its young on the same day. In order that people should be restrained and prevented from killing the two together in such a manner that the young is slain in the sight for the mother. For the pain of animals under such circumstances is very great. The Rambam believes that animals feel like we do, and this is to do with compassion. There is no difference in this case between the pain of man and the pain of other living beings, since the love and tenderness of the mother for her young ones is not produced by reasoning, but by imagination, and this faculty exists not only in people, but in most living things. And then the Rambam goes on to discuss our law. The same reason applies to the law which tells us that we should let the mother fly away when we take the young. The eggs over which the bird sits and the young that are in need of their mother are generally unfit for food. I suspect that the Rambam felt that eggs that we want for food, we will produce by having batteries of chickens and or hens. And food. And if we want food, we will raise them. But that this is not going to be something we want. And when the mother is sent away, she does not see the taking of the young ones and does not feel any pain. In most cases, however, this command will cause us to leave the whole nest untouched, because the young or the eggs, which one is allowed to take, are as a rule unfit for food. So the Rambam says that this will lead to us not taking the eggs at all. In other words, the Rambam sees this as a way to train people not to do it at all. This is a very, very big issue. But for whatever reason, sometimes the Torah does not say out and out, you can't do it. Famously, Ki Tetzei starts with it, which speaks about capturing a woman in battle. Don't rape her, bring her home, make her sit, make her not shower, make her not cut her hair or her nails. And when she's looking completely disgusting, if you still want to have sex with her, then marry her. Why did the Torah just not say don't rape women in battle? Because they realized it was too hard for people to do. Even today, sadly, this is such a terrible thing. It is sometimes too hard for people to do. What it did is it tried to wean us away. And that's what's going on over here. It is trying to wean us away. If the law provides that such grief should not be caused to cattle or birds, how much more careful must we be that we should not cause grief to our fellow men? So the Rambam sees this as being for both people and animals. When in the Talmud, those who are blamed who used in the prayer the phrase, your mercy extends to young birds, it is the expression of the one of the two opinions mentioned by us, namely that the precepts of the law have no other reason but the divine will. We follow the other opinion. What the Rambam is saying over here is as follows, that in the Gemara it says that one of the things that in prayer you're not allowed to say your mercy extends to young birds, that's one of the things that disqualifies prayer. So all different reasons are given for what is so bad about it. One of the reasons that's given is that we do this mitzvah just because God told us, and it has nothing to do with the compassion. The Rambam says, I hear that as a reason, but now that's not the reason that I understand it being bad. I understand that the Torah is giving rules for compassion, that there are other reasons why we shouldn't, say this in prayer. Perhaps because it could sound like a complaint to God. God, you're kinder to animals than you are to people. The Ramban Nachmanides, very interestingly, has a very different approach. He writes, the reason for both commandments is that we should not have a cruel heart and be uncompassionate. The Ramban sees this perfectly, purely for the sake of people. Or it may be that scripture does not permit us to destroy species altogether, the ecological reason. It was not a matter of God's mercy extending to the bird's nest or to the animal and its young, since his mercies did not extend so far into animal life as to prevent us from accomplishing our needs with them. For if so, he would have forbidden slaughter altogether. Very logical. But the reason for the prohibition is to teach us the trait of compassion and that we should not be cruel. So the Ramban does not see it as being for the animal, but for us, perhaps like I said earlier, to remember how much important motherhood is, or just to teach us not to be lacking in compassion. The same way as the ideas in the Psukim came to a head with Ramban and Rambam, all of these ideas come to be expressed in the famous story of Elisha ben Abuya, the heretic of the Talmud. In Sefer Agadah by Bialik's telling of it, what did Acher see that made him go wrong? It is said that once while sitting and studying in the valley of Ginosar, he saw a man climb to the top of a palm tree on the Sabbath, take the mother bird with the young and descend in safety. At the end of the Sabbath, he saw another man climb to the top of the palm tree and take the young, but let the mother go free. As he descended, a snake bit him and he died. And in other versions of the story, it's even more dramatic. And you have a young boy whose father told him to do it. So you have two mitzvot that you are promised long life for. And so we have over here the classic story of theodicy, a classic example of theodicy. Why do people who do bad things get away scot-free or even seem to be rewarded, while people who obey God suffer? Milton Steinberg famously turned this into a novel called As a Driven Leaf, and this is how he writes about it, what happened to Elisha. Elisha trembled from head to foot. A cold perspiration covered him. Nausea writhed through his entrails. The scene he had just witnessed brought with sudden vividness to his mind the tragedy that had befallen his friend Rabbi Meir, who had lost two young children. The two pictures merged into a unity, insane and incredible. A wild protest stormed up in him against the horror of it, its senseless waste of life, its wanton cruelty. The sages turned and slowly mounted the slope together, talking meanwhile, trying to restore their confidence, to solidify a crumbling universe. At first, Elisha did not listen. So stunned was he, so dazed his senses. But as his mind recovered from its initial disorganization, he heard one of them say, "He will have his length of days. God is just. It is hard to understand. But let us remember that there is a better world in which it is all day, a day that stretches for eternity." At once Elisha knew the answer to the question he had never ventured to face before. A great negation crystallized in him. The veil of deception dissolved before his eyes. The only belief he still cherished disintegrated, as had all the others. The last tenuous cord that bound him to his people was severed. And when the sages droned on, their words buzzing like flies, revulsion swept Elisha. He could no longer tolerate their deliberate blindness. In cold desperation, he silenced them. "It is all a lie," he said with a terrible quiet in his voice. "There is no reward. There is no judge. There is no judgment, for there is no God." The wind blew in from the sea across horror-stricken faces. The sun, weltering so long in its own blood, died slowly. In this beautiful dramatic account, we see the rabbis and Elisha ben Abuya trying to struggle with this terrible thing that happened. How does our tradition deal with Acher's dilemma? I think there are three major ways. One is, which was quoted by the sages and can be found in Chulin 142a, number 10. "V'hu lo yada l'man yitav lecha b'olam shekulo atov, l'man yirichun yamecha b'olam shekulo aroch." That when it says it may go well with you, this refers to a world that is wholly good, and when it says that your day may be prolonged, refers to the world that is wholly long. One of the ways the rabbis had of dealing with theodicy, of saying that all will be fixed up in the world to come, and when it promises a long life, it's not a long life in this world, but a long life in the world to come. There is a second reason, which says, "Schar mitzvah mitzvah, v'schar avera avera," from Avot, "the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, the reward of a transgression is a transgression," that this is naturalistic. It's not that you actually are rewarded, but if you do good things, then you have the pleasure and the knowledge of having lived a good life. You know that you've done the right thing, and one good deed will lead to another. Whereas when we do bad, and we know that this happens, when we do bad, inevitably we do worse and worse things and get sucked into it. And this one is saying, it's not actual physical long life, but if we respect society, if we respect our parents, if we are honest in business, we will live a life that is more valuable. The answer that I most prefer, perhaps, is the answer that says that the reason that Elisha ben Abuya saw, the reason that this boy was killed, is that the ladder was rickety. And we see this in the last source sheet. Olam kaminogo holech. The world goes according to its ways. There just is a certain way that the physical world is built. We don't know why it's this way. We don't know what the reasons are that God did it this way. Perhaps God meant it to live a world that there's a certain amount of randomness in it, because what it means to be a person of faith, what it means to believe in God, is that I believe in God and I'm faithful to God's demands, even in a world that doesn't make sense. Perhaps that is part of what it means to be a human being. To be a human being means to live in a world that is not necessarily self-reinforcing, and nevertheless to carry on and to worship God. Nevertheless, though we do not understand why, to chase away the mother bird before taking her eggs. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.